You know, Matthew 6:9 says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The very first thing that we're to say to God and to acknowledge is that his name is hallowed. Yes. That means to be esteemed, to be revered, to be worshipped, to be held in honor. And we might be like some of those. I knew a family, my friend told me about up in the Northeast, and they had a family there named Hollowell. And their children all were praying, "Our Father who art in heaven, Hallowell be thy name." But they probably knew as much as some of us know what it really is to hallow the name of God. Do you know that honor is the highest priority and the supreme law of the kingdom? Everybody say honor.
Honor.
You will honor whatever you value in life. Happily, God's word clearly tells us what to honor and how to give honor. What to honor and how to give honor. Did you know sometimes we honor the wrong things? Sometimes we value the wrong things, and one day we wake up and say, "How empty, how foolish, why was I thinking that?" Sometimes the reason our prayers are not heard or not answered is because we don't first honor God. But he says, when you go to pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, I hallow, I honor, I revere your name." Before we even begin to pray, give him honor. And praise and worship shows that we honor God, which we've had the wonderful opportunity today. I just kept telling the Lord today, "I'm so glad, Lord, that I get to worship you in freedom by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that it touches my heart, that I know that I'm touching him, and I expect to have an encounter with God when I worship him." When you see a person dishonoring God, it shows you they don't know him. You remember that one of the commandments is that we should not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. But we're very, how shall I say, jaded in this area about the name of God. For example, one of the text abbreviations is OMG, oh my God. But it's not a prayer. It's taking his name in vain. Come up with something else to say. Like, yikes, or something cornier than that. That's taking God's name, using it as slang language, and that dishonors. Same of, "Oh, Jesus," or "Jesus Christ." Or I saw a movie where a man was always saying, "Mother Mary and Joseph." Just take any name that should be honored and use it in your slang, and then you've been successful in dishonoring what you say you believe. Okay, that's all right. I'll move right along now. You can digest that. And another way we honor God is by putting nothing else or no one else before him. Remember the words of Samuel to Eli? When Eli honored his sons and just turned a deaf ear and a blind eye to the fact that his sons were misbehaving right in the sanctuary with the women who came there, and even eating the wrong things and going before the people, barging in before them. But Eli didn't deal with that. Rather than obeying the word of God, he gave in to his children's desires. And that's not really a hard thing to do. I used to know a family where the children would say, "Mama will do that, we'll whine her into it." Well, that never got me anywhere when I was a kid. I was kind of taught, if you ask handsomely, you have a good chance of getting something. Sit down and think about it. Be nice. Be polite. Decide if you really need this before you ask. Whining is selfishness and childishness, right? 1 Samuel 2:30 there says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said, indeed, that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This is what I was telling you about with Samuel. The Lord, or with Eli, the Lord told Eli, I will honor those who honor me, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Because Eli put his sons before God. But, you know, we live in a country that has very little understanding of honor. Now, I'm talking to you today about honoring God. But on the way there, I'm going to say there's some people we should honor too. If you understand honor at all. We've been taught to honor our country's flag, but in the day we live in, there are those that will even show disrespect to the flag just as a way of venting their own personal things, not honoring the fact that people have died for our country. And there have even been those who would burn it. These are people that have no understanding of honor, and I promise you, there will be a dishonor involved in their lives on the other side of such actions. It would surprise some people to know that honor is not a suggestion or a preference in the kingdom of God. It actually is a currency. A currency is what you use in exchange for something else. That is to say, you can gain or lose according to your willingness to honor what should be honored. There's a reward for giving honor to God, even for giving honor to other people. I like what Bill Johnson says, that some people are so impoverished themselves that they can't give honor to other people. Do you know that great people are always honorific toward other people? But people who don't have much, it's like they're stingy, they have to keep it to themselves. Come on, you can afford it. Give honor. Amen. There's a reward for giving honor. And the scripture teaches there's a penalty for dishonoring. You've already seen the example of Eli and his sons. He dishonored God. And so God esteemed him lightly. This is not something cultural. This is not cultural. Well, you know, and so I was having a discussion with a northerner that lives near me in my house. And they were saying that in the North, you're not taught to say yes, ma'am. But you know, it's really British, only there it's yes, mom. But the fact of the matter is, this is how we were taught in the South to say yes, ma'am. Some people will still say yes, ma'am to me out of habit. They were just taught that as children growing up. But mind you, if you don't say yes, ma'am, at least don't say yeah. That helps a lot. But all of that was to show respect. But it's not, that example I gave you is cultural. But honor in the kingdom of God is not cultural. It's a biblical law and reality. It's a heavenly paradigm. Paradigm doesn't mean you have two dimes. It means a way to think. If we don't think this way, it's time to change our minds. If we want to prosper in the kingdom, there are blessings that come from honoring. The law of honor is not a suggestion any more than the law of gravity. You may not believe in gravity, but if you jump off the roof, sure enough, you will fall to the ground. And it's this way with honor. You may not be given to it. You may not believe in it. You might not have been taught it, but I'm telling you, you need to learn that law so you can get in the place of blessing. The scripture says to give honor to whom honor is due. If you're in the military, you will salute, respect, and obey the orders of the one who ranks above you. You're honoring their position. They don't have to be perfect. You don't have to agree with everything about their personality. Those who choose to rebel against the law of honor will live an impoverished life. I'm just teaching some things today that are going to bring you into a place of blessing as you walk in them. They may seem to succeed for a season, but it cannot last. You know, I was trying to think about examples where I've been dishonored that maybe I could give you. There was a man who came to visit us back in the very early days of this ministry. You know, I'm talking about in the 70s. And he was mad at us because some of the children he had maybe taught in school or something like that were being drawn here, and they wanted to come here, and he didn't want them to. They lived in another town nearby, and he was just kind of huffy about it. So I just tried to talk to him about it, and then as he was leaving, I just extended my hand to shake his hand, and he would not shake my hand. Now, didn't make me any smaller. And then I went to a meeting one time where they were acknowledging ministers. And it was right here in this area. And a denominational church where I suppose they didn't have their women to speak or be pastors or what have you. But they asked all the pastors to stand. And so I stood. I told the Lord, and this was many, many years ago, but I told the Lord that I would never dishonor my calling, and I would always be glad to declare that he had called me to be his servant. And so they went down the row, saying, you know, what is your, would you give us your name, give us your name. But when he got to me, he skipped over me and went over to the man that was right across the aisle there. And the guest speaker stood and said, excuse me, you missed the lady standing there. We want to know who she is and where she's from. That was an interesting one. Then I remember a man, how I was touched by the honor. One of our original benefactors, who has gone to be with Jesus now, gave us a considerable amount of money in the beginning, took me one day down to his farm that he had in another county. And he had a man that he hired. A man was wearing a cap. And as the man approached, then our benefactor said to the man, I want you to meet Pastor Sue Curran. And the man whipped off his cap and put it over his chest. This is the first time I'd seen such an unusual expression of honor. It might seem corny to you, but I just kind of appreciated it. It was nice. The scripture says to give honor to whom honor is due. It mentions specifically leaders in the church and civic leaders. Now, I just think that we live in a generation of high-mindedness and mocking. And that's because we're not taught honor and we're not taught respect. And no matter how high an official is, then we think that we have the right to just give our opinion and just declare whatever we think, even right in front of him. And that is not right. If we don't honor people, then we lose the very fabric of what the kingdom reality is. I heard about a young man that was hired by a church, and he did a good job at what he was doing. But they didn't know it, and the leaders didn't know it, but secretly he was sowing seeds of discord by mocking the leaders and others. But you know what happened? Some of the other young people got affected by the same spirit. And in the end, it was a disaster for them. They were all hurt by it. Mocking is a very serious thing. It's a pride problem. We can see people do a lot of weird things or things that we don't agree with. If they really need to be prayed for, that's great. But mocking is not a part of what we're called to. And we're to honor the gifts that are resident in people. Honor their gifts. Anyone who asks me if they can pray for me, for the Omega over my healing, if it's a teenager, if it's a child, I always tell them, by all means. Who knows which one of them's going to have a healing gift in them? And I'm looking forward to touching the gift that I need to get in touch with. But you've got to honor the person who bears that gift. The blessing of God comes through other people to us. You know, even Jesus, Matthew 14:2 says, he didn't do mighty works there because of their unbelief and because they said, isn't this just Jesus, the carpenter's son? This isn't anybody. If you receive from a person, you've got to have confidence in the gift that God has given them, or that God has placed something in them. And it's a very important thing to honor those gifts. That doesn't mean you make that person any better than another person. It means you honor the fact that God loves you and us enough that he puts a gift in a person that can touch us where we need to be touched. You know, the man who honors God walks in favor. Ecclesiastes 3:16 says, "He that serveth the Lord shall be accepted with favor, and his prayer shall reach unto the clouds." How's that for a good reason? Honor me with your first fruits, and I will honor you with favor. Honoring your parents will bring you a long life, the scripture says. I was telling someone in conversation recently, I do not remember a time in my adult life that I ever said anything disrespectful or unkind to my mother. And I'm glad I can say that. And maybe you have, and I'm not saying anything about that except you can start from now. We can all say, I should show honor. Hey, parents don't have to be perfect to receive honor. They're your parents. That's the reason for it. But I honored the gift of God in my mother as well. Ephesians 6:2-3 says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now, the rest with what is left of this, I want to talk to you about how to honor God. And I'm not going to dwell on each one of these, but I want to touch each one of these. Number one, put him first in everything. That's what it is to honor God instead of honoring your time to use for yourself or honoring other people and make them more important than God. Honor God first. Secondly, honor his word in all things. The scripture says that he places his word even above his name. And I honor the word of God. Most of the time, if you're trying to figure out what to do about something, the word of God will tell you. You don't even need to fast and pray the biggest part of the time. But go ahead and fast and pray too. It'll help you. Number three, honor his name. You know, Philippians 3 says that God has given him a name above every name. We should honor that great, wonderful name of Jesus. Honor his name. Number four, honor his works. You know, God does things for you and you don't give a testimony, then he hasn't been honored yet in what he did. Or if you've been sick and you've gotten better and maybe it was gradual, why do you think your body is just a wonder machine that healed itself? Now, bodies do want to heal themselves, but when you pray and you expect God to heal you and he does, you need to give testimony. It doesn't have to be a miracle to give him testimony or all of the wonderful things he does for us. Testimony is honoring God. By God's great grace, Nick Welch used to say, I can do this by God's great grace. I can't do this because I'm so great at it or because I'm so disciplined. Just get to thinking something like that about yourself. You know, I'm more disciplined than people. And I believe that God will allow you to come into a trap that will embarrass you, to do you the favor of saying you really are just a human being. Remember, Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass. My flesh is like your flesh. It's only the work of the Spirit in us that makes us any different. Honor him, number five, through praise and worship and prayer. The scripture in the psalm says, because of a man's countenance, he will not seek the face of God. Because of a man's pride of his countenance, he will not seek the face of God. You know that really the reason that we don't seek God and don't seek him very often is because we haven't yet felt our need of him.
That's right.
We haven't gotten to the place where we know that we need him for everything. And we come to him, we don't want to start anything or do anything unless we pray over that thing. You know, I could come in the pulpit and preach on Sunday morning But I just have observed that as I spend time with the Lord, He brings a fresh anointing, and something happens, and it'll be different if I don't spend time, the right amount of time, with the right intensity in my prayers in the morning, there will be a difference. Yes. And so it's very important. We absolutely do need Him. We need God. And as far as, you know, praising and worshiping God, which we had the wonderful opportunity to do today, when we come to praise, it's time to give ourselves to Him. When we come to worship God, it's time to focus on Him, center in on Him, keep our minds on Him. And prayer, you know, we were talking about these who gather intercessory groups that meet and pray. That's what keeps this church going. That's what keeps this church out of trouble. That's what helps us get miracles, miracles of healing, miracles of finances. That's what helps us get through all the difficult times. If there should be an evil spirit that would try to work, these praying like this is what keeps the enemy from having his way. This is what Yongyi Cho said. He has 1 million people in his church. And they pray every Friday night, you know, all night. He said, think where we would be with this many people if we didn't give a lot of time to prayer. And the people in their homes pray every morning. And this is how God protects them and keeps them as they should be. We have a prayer meeting on Friday evening, church-wide prayer meeting. I want to invite you to try to find a way to make a place where you can come that one time a week. It's tremendous, some of the things we get prayed through there. Sometimes we can really tell the difference in that church service. We also pray on Tuesday mornings, which some of you are not available for that. But if we didn't cover what we do with prayer, E.M. Bounds, I believe it was, said, a work founded without prayer, the devil does not fear. Because he knows that he can pull the props out from under it at any time. But prayer births things by the power of the Holy Ghost, and the enemy does not have liberty to deal with that. Now, I wanted to spend just a few minutes on this last one, honoring Him with your offerings. I know that we're having new people coming in all the time, and some of you possibly have not even heard me teach on this subject, or maybe you haven't heard any teaching on it at all, and that's fine. But I just want you to know how you can be blessed. How you can be blessed by honoring God through your offerings. Our church is a very unusual church. As I've heard about statistics, I don't know, maybe it's something like 20-25% of a church might tithe. Our church has always tithed 75-80%. We could never have made it. You see, it does take money to run a church. But the first reason to give is not because it takes money to run a church. It's to honor God. Right. And because He has given the way biblically for you to be under the blessing. Yeah. I heard a tape by Amy McPherson and it startled me. Amy McPherson was a good preacher. And she preached 30-minute messages, which I've tried to do from time to time. Every now and then I make it. And she's talking about tithing. And she said, what? You didn't tithe? Then why were you not afraid to cross the street? You could have been killed by a car. And the scripture does say in Malachi 3 that tithing puts you under the protection of the enemy and keeps you from the devourer eating up your life. That's just what tithing does. It's a place of blessing. So I want to point this out to you that you may not be aware of this. Every time Abraham, you know, God called Abraham out of a heathen people. What a wonder. And that's what He did for each one of us. Took us out of Egypt, out of the world. We didn't have anything. We were citizens of darkness. And He turned the light on for us. And here we are in the wonderful place we are now. We have a direct connection with heaven. And we actually pray to the living God. And He answers our prayers. And He called Abraham like that. Every time Abraham would move from one place to another in his journey, he would pitch a tent and build an altar. Amazing. Well, it's a lot of trouble to go to, isn't it? No, it really isn't. Because each time he was honoring God. He built a house for himself, but not without honoring God. God called him out of darkness to make him the father of nations. And each time God guided him to another place, he would set up his tent there, not forgetting every time to build an altar for the offerings of God. Every time he would give a sacrifice to God, placing the sacrifice on the altar. Now, some people have done the opposite. They build a tent and pitch an altar. That is to say, their home is very solid, but their altar is very weak. Meaning, they build a strong house for themselves and throw up a weak altar of giving to God. But I want my altar to always be stronger than the house or any material things I have. I want it to be more sure than any possession. Because what I possess, I only have because my altar is strong. And not just physical possessions, but also my health and my security are because of God's faithfulness. So I want to make sure I always am cognizant of the need of an altar stronger than my house. The first instruction of God is to put him first in everything, in our tithes and offerings. The order is the same. God's whole purpose in ordering our lives is so that we can find ourselves in the place of blessing. Yes. Sole purpose. That's what the abundant life is. Everyone finds himself when he comes to God in some kind of order, right? Disorder, chaos, decent order, not so much. But when you come to God and you start learning about the kingdom of God, you find out what the kingdom order is. Then you get your life in the kingdom order. God has set for us his own order to give our lives to. And the book of Genesis contains the first mention concerning our giving and shows us how to honor God in our offerings. In Genesis 4, 3 through 5, speaking of Cain and Abel, listen carefully. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and his offering he did not respect. Now remember, you honor me, I will honor you. You dishonor me, I will lightly esteem you. Abel honored God. God esteemed him. But Cain dishonored God. How did Cain dishonor God? Well, Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. But Cain, it says that Cain gave along the way or in the process of time or when it came handy. It's just this simple. You are where you are, wherever you find yourself. I was thinking about this today. There may be some of you that have not ever tithed and never maybe even received teaching on tithing. Do the very best you can. Begin somewhere and start building until you get that place so you can get into the place of blessing. Jesus, he would look at how much the widow gave. He knew she couldn't give a lot, but he mentioned it. It was so important to him, the widow's mite. The woman with the alabaster box, he said, just tell everybody about this because she gave the equivalent of a year's wages, just poured it out on him. He's very much into that kind of thing. So to Cain, he's saying, you didn't give the first of the fruits to me. God taught his people in the book of Genesis that the first of everything belonged to him. Listen carefully, the first fruits of the harvest were his. The first animal that was birthed was to be dedicated to him. God gave the cities to Israel to possess, but the first one, Jericho, they couldn't take anything from it because that had to be dedicated to God. God is the God that wants the first of everything. He wants the first. And by the way, and I do this from time to time, when I'm teaching about tithing, the scripture says to give the first tenth to God. It doesn't say to give a tenth. Give the first tenth. The first check that you write out of whatever the pay, that is to go to God. And there's a special blessing for that. The first day of the week is His. And we were listening to Montanato on TV this morning, John and I, and he was saying, God didn't name any of the days in the week except the Sabbath. And all the other names came from Greek mythology and whatever else. I told you the other day that it's the most important day of the week. But God wants you to give Him that first day. But I'll tell you what, it's a day of rest. And like Bob Mumford said, you know, I didn't do that. I didn't do it year after year. And so God came and collected it all at one time in bad health. You need that rest. You need to pull the plug on shopping and washing cars and everything else under the sun. And come into the presence of God and be spiritually refreshed. And then let yourself, let your whole psyche just come down. God knows what we need to be healthy, holy, and happy. And the first, you know that the Chinese Christians didn't have anything they could give the underground church, but they wanted to tithe. So they tithed their lives. And they gave the first tenth of their life totally to the service of the kingdom, bringing people in, building churches. So they figured that was 7 years. On the average, a person lives to be around 70. And so they give the first 7 years totally to the Lord, like they are all ministers. Isn't that tremendous? The first day of the week, here we give the first week of the new year for a week of prayer and fasting. I'll be telling you more about that later. If you give God the first day of the week, the first week of the year, the first, give God first. He's a God that wants the first. Malachi 3 says, gives us the law of His offerings. The tithe goes into the storehouse. But the also offering, I was talking to you this morning about the offering for the prison ministry. The offering, or the seed, is what is given beyond the tithe. You can sow the seed of the offering and expect a harvest. You get a harvest. It multiplies. The seed multiplies. Like when you sow corn, it multiplies. You don't sow as many as you plan to reap. That's what happens when you give above and beyond the tithe. That's what makes it so beautiful. You can tithe and expect God's covering and blessing on your life. And when you plant seed, you can expect multiplication back again from that which you sowed. I just want to, in closing day, I want to give you a couple of tithing testimonies. When I had a perfectly good usher, I'll trade him for this one right here. Oh, that's okay. I thought you weren't there. I didn't see you. thank you, sir. John loves to tell the story about when God spoke to us about tithing. Now, you may think that you don't have faith to tithe. And in fact, as I have already mentioned, some people may be in a particular situation that they have to find a way to get their situation to change. And God understands that. Just go to work on it. And in our situation, somehow the Spirit of the Lord broke through on us. And we thought that we should tithe. Now, mind you, we weren't saved. Maybe it's a good way. Is anybody here not saved? Why don't you start tithing? That might help you. And so John was in the Army. He was a PFC. And I was working for a general. Yeah, I was coming to that, sweetheart. It's hard for John to listen to a story and not become a part of it. Actually, honey, it was $90 because I wish we'd had 10 more. Just kidding. But anyway, he was making $90 a month. And so I was working for General Electric Credit. And I was making, I think it was $130 a month. So you can see we were real well-to-do people. But also, that was in the early 60s, wasn't it? It was in the early 60s, so it wasn't terrible. Mine wasn't. I'd call his pretty bad. But you could go to the movie for a quarter, and you could buy things at the PX a lot cheaper, groceries and things like that. But not much money in the hand, and we felt that the Lord wanted us to tithe. And the church we went to was the largest Methodist church in that whole area, and people drove up in chauffeur-driven cars and wearing their fur coats and all of this kind of thing. How many of you know they didn't actually need our money? But we needed to give it. And we started tithing, and we have not stopped ever. We've never missed a tithe from 1962 to this day. And I heard Maldonado say this, and it so impressed me, I thought, I'm going to share that with the church. You know what our testimony is, that when we first started this work, the first 7 years, John kept his job as chemist at Tennessee Eastman, and I didn't receive a salary at all, nothing, for that first 7 years. That's just where we were. But then the Lord came to us at a particular point when we were in revival, and some of us started giving 25%. And John and I started doing that in 1980. We've never stopped doing that. Well, you know that that's my testimony. Well, Maldonado said this, and I thought, now, did she really say that? He said, you know, I should say this to this congregation. I won't ever ask you to do anything I wouldn't do myself. He said, did you know that the first 7 years of our ministry, I didn't receive any salary at all? And he said, and do you know that my wife and I tithe 25%, and we do that regularly, and we don't ever miss doing that. So I believe that God is going to put you in a place where you're going to be able to give freely, because he wants to bless you freely like he's blessed me. And I do believe that God will cause that leaders in a church will get a special challenge. I think it's part of God's laws. I also believe that it's so the people in the church will know that everybody is expected to do this. I guess it's okay if I say this, that the man that keeps our books out of Chattanooga, it's a real big organization, all of our finances go through there. And he said, if I go into a church, if I'm looking into a church, if I have to audit them or whatever, and I find out the pastor doesn't tithe, I close the books and say, I will not be your accountant. Made his point? See, you know, David Shock said you were going to be preaching one of these days. And you never know when this is going to come over you. I'll do it, baby. So when we came out of the army, John had saved $1,800. He's really good on figures, so I have to be careful. $1,800, and John finished his college in 3 years. He went year round. Of course, I had a job, one of these real high-paying jobs like that other one that I told you about. Only this one was a little better than that. And so in that 3 years, we were able to pay John's tuition and buy all of his books without going into debt or borrowing any money. I think that it was because we tithed when it didn't seem like we could, but the Lord helped us so that we could save. And then when he went to school, that we were able to do that because he wanted to bless us much more in the future. John eventually became a research chemist, and they really tried to get him to stay there. Aren't you glad he didn't?
Right.
We don't want you there stirring chemicals together, John. but people who honor. It's not a thing of doing God a favor. It's not a thing of doing something for the church, although you do it. It is for the church. But the first reason is to honor God. Look what God has done for us. And here's the other thing. He freely releases the other 90%. At your discretion. And if I had time, I could teach you scriptures and show you how that giving that 10 sanctifies the other 90 and causes it to be in a different realm than if you didn't give it. The scripture says that if you give the tithe, then the Lord sews up the holes in your money bag so that it actually goes further. I want to make the point today that God is worthy of honor. He's worthy of honor. So when we have opportunity to give not just the tithe, but even as we always have opportunities to give here because we're involved in various things. And when you can and when there's an opportunity, I received a check just last week that I either didn't know about or had forgotten about. It was a decent amount of money. And I said, wonder what God had in mind for this. And it wasn't but 2 or 3 days till the Lord showed me. Just transfer that to another person. This is the way God is. And when you really are faithful and honoring and giving to Him, then He gives you, He says He'll supply the seed for the sower. Did you know your Bible says that? If you're a sower, He will supply the seed for the sower. Just try it and see if God won't do that for you. Amen. Any great God?
Yes.
Let's stand together. Lord, we just want to return to give you thanks this morning. I thank you that you have called us into your glorious kingdom and you've allowed us to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you that you have given us ways to be directly connected to you. Thank you for the ways that you taught us how to honor you. And Lord, we want to honor you in your word. We want to honor you by putting you first in everything. We want to honor you by honoring those that you've given that have gifts deposited in them. I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that are in this church today. The gifts of healing and the gifts of helps and the gifts of teaching. All the different gifts. I bless the gifts that are in this house. And I honor you today, Lord, because in your great faithfulness, you have given us everything that we need. Now we just bow our hearts.